I'd like to read from 1 John chapter 1. This is what John writes. Obviously, to me, it seems he's been greatly affected, impacted, because this is how he begins his letter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. And he repeats what he's just said in verse 1. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. He links fullness of joy with fellowship with the Father and the Son. Outside of fellowship with God, the Eternal One, and his Son, there is no joy unspeakable and full of glory. There is no peace that passes understanding that doesn't depend on our circumstances at all. It issues forth from our fellowship with him. Scripture says, in his presence is fullness of joy. Not just on Sunday morning through some rousing, lovely hymns that I love to sing. In him, in his presence is fullness of joy. These things some of us have known not just for years, but for decades. But how challenging do they remain as life goes on? That instead of things fading and waning and knowing less measure of it than we did in the beginning, but as the years pass, we can testify to a growing knowledge of a deepening peace and a deepening joy in our lives. That things that once were wild alarms now can no longer disturb my rest, because I have been in fellowship with him. Now, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. This is intimate. This is close. This is near. This is communion. This is fellowship. Now, undoubtedly, he may be referring to having been with Jesus for 3.5 years. When Jesus, as the Son of Man, walked the earth. It may indeed be so, because in different parts of this letter, he talks about those who deny that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And we know from history that at that time, end of the first century, beginning of the second century, there were Gnostics and so-called Docetists, don't worry about those names, but they were people who claimed higher knowledge. They said Jesus, the flesh by definition is evil. Jesus Christ never came in the flesh. He was a phantom. And indeed, John may be establishing the truth that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, but surely he means much more than that. His fellowship with God's Son did not end when Jesus was taken up in the clouds to heaven. I think the greater fellowship he is referring to is the fellowship he has had. The saints have had with the Father and the Son since the time the Holy Spirit came. He says about hearing, seeing, handling. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But he has revealed them to us by the Spirit, because the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the spirit of man? What things knows a man but the spirit of man in him? So no man knows the Spirit of God. No man knows the Spirit of God, the things of God, except by the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Really, is this true? I want to come on to talk about our thought life, our mental life. We have not received the spirit of the world to think like the world, to be dogged by issues of this life in our mental life that robs us of fellowship with him, a peace that passes understanding, a joy unspeakable that comes from a treasure greater than anything you can find in this world. The natural man. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. They do not come willy-nilly. They don't come willy-nilly. They don't come by me drifting in my Christian life. If I drift in my Christian life, the trials, temptations, all sorts that this life contains will pull me down and captivate me in thinking this, that, and the other troubled. We sing, care and doubting, gloom and sorrow, grief and fear, am I no more? Wow, just meditate on those two lines of that verse. It's life changing. You can't do it by a mental attitude, adopting a mental attitude. We have been bought with a price to be brought into fellowship with God. There's nothing greater on earth. My house is not greater than that. My car is not greater than that. My wife is not greater than that. My children are not greater than that. There's nothing greater than knowing him in fellowship. Sharing in what he is. I cannot share him with you if I am not taking time to share in his life. Fellowship, koinonia, however you want to pronounce the Greek word. Fellowship, participation, communion, fellowship, partaking of what he is. Unto us are given exceeding and great precious promises, that we by these might be partakers of the divine nature. Some theological streams would scream in horror at the very thought of it. It doesn't come willy-nilly. It doesn't come by me drifting, bouncing off circumstances. It's by me pursuing and finding a time, a place of quiet rest. It is not just a quiet time. It's not the quantity of time, it's the quality of my fellowship with him when I do take time to be with him, to offer him my life without condition, without reservation, knowing that there is nothing between at all, nothing interrupting, nothing disturbing, no hardness, no lumps and bumps against anyone on this earth, but I'm delivered to him as free-flowing wine, offering pure, fine flower. No grudge against anyone. That's the old kind of covenant. God said you can't bear a grudge against anyone. Old covenant. John says that which, he says, we who partake of this fellowship, that which I have seen, which I have heard, day by day, since he rose, since the Spirit came, that which has been communicated to me. Surely preaching is more than conveying what I've read in a commentary. Surely preaching is more than my own collected thoughts on paper. Surely it must have an element. Testimony, preaching must have an element of I declare unto you that which I have seen, which I have heard, which has been quickened to me. I was blessed last week. I know it was a testimony, but you said, you, Mike, you love that word, quickened, to be quickened. I was blessed by that, by the whole testimony. Made alive. He's made it alive to me. He's made this scripture alive to me. I've got before him. I've meditated on this verse, not just meditated on it. Before I go to anything else, any commentary, anything else, I meditate on this verse, this passage. I give myself wholly to it, like Paul says to Timothy. Meditate on these things. Give yourself to them that your profiting may appear to all. If my fellowship isn't changing me, it ain't real fellowship. I'm looking in a mirror, going away. I haven't really been touched, impacted like he has been impacted. That which I have seen, that which was made alive to one brother, he communicated, he declared it to others, and others were blessed. It's not a new revelation. It's meeting with God, delivering one's soul to God. This is the essential thing. It's more than just the 3.5 years. Because doesn't Paul say, henceforth, know we no man according to the flesh, by natural judgments, by natural understanding, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, henceforward know we him no more according to the flesh, according to natural understanding. God has done something new. God has come and made a new creation. The old has passed away. All things have become new. And we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we might know. Lord, are you going to, at this time, restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to expel the Romans? Peter didn't have a clue in Acts chapter 1. Not a clue of the kingdom of God. It would have been the same for any of us. I'm not criticizing it. But there is a difference, a grand difference, a great difference, which we should never lose sight of. Behold the Lamb of God that bears away, takes away the sin of the world. Why? One comes after me that's greater, and he shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Shall we call down fire to consume these Samaritans, said John in the Gospels. You don't know what spirit you're of. They didn't have understanding until God came. Not real understanding, on the day of Pentecost. When they received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit that is of God, and brought them into fellowship, so that no one had to teach them. Praise the Lord. You cannot have fellowship with me if I am not fellowshipping with the Father and the Son. You can't. Takes two to tango. I can't have fellowship with you if you are not fellowshipping, sharing by deliberate choice in your life to take time to be with him. Much time at times. So not dependent on a Sunday morning for my spirits or feelings to be lifted. Surely we know in our private devotions overwhelming blessing. He comes in a way we cannot contain. He is utterly, utterly precious, the treasure of our hearts.
Excuse me.
Have I got the desire? Is my love for him thus so strong that I will say no to daily routine and I will come, not pray from a prayer list, but fellowship with him? There was a line that said something like that. We sang, to trust seems almost like the hardest thing. That's what it said. You can't drift into fellowship. It's not a willy-nilly thing. We have to put our foot on the neck of certain things, the busyness of life, our own thoughts. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service, ministry. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may be able to prove what is that good, perfect and acceptable will of God. There is no understanding of his will spiritually or providentially without an offering of love, because he's loved me and given himself for me. And the response of my heart cuts through the routine of the day, the multitude of thinking that this life wants to bring upon me, and I offer myself living sacrifice, not harassed by thoughts. In Exodus, couple of favorite verses of mine about the offerings, the priesthood and the offerings. In Exodus 29, you know that every day, morning and evening, every day, a continual burnt offering. Continual, every day, forever. A lamb in the morning, a lamb in the evening. A lamb in the morning, a lamb in the evening. Jesus Christ, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I shouldn't doubt Paul was remembering these verses in Exodus. And it says, Exodus 29, verse 42, this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there to you. And there, at the place of the altar, at the place of the offering of the lamb, that's where I'll meet you. You come there, lay everything aside, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So it has been, since the Lord has spoken these things, past at least 3 decades, to respect the Lord, to honor him and his faithfulness. Faithfulness I seek when I go to bed and put my head on the pillow, that there's nothing keeping me awake. No worry. If I'm faithful to his word to me, don't be anxious for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, is to be the foundation, the staple diet of our disposition and mental attitude, and we are to put our foot on the neck of anything and everything that wants to cause us to think he is unfaithful by not coming to him. There I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. That which we have seen, we all, Paul says to Corinthians chapter 3, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed, are transformed from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Being renewed in the spirit of our mind, things which seemed like mountains when we commit ourselves to him and flee to him. Don't let these things possess our mind and thought life. They become as nothing, disappear. You look around, why did I ever feel so affected? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. This he is talking, I believe, mainly about fellowship. Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. Even Son of God becomes Son of Man, walks humbly and stays in fellowship, dependent fellowship, on the Father, doesn't he? Before he chose the 12, he was in prayer. Before he asked them a question about who he was in prayer. He's in prayer all night in fellowship with his Father. And we? Can we live any differently? Will we let the things of this world, our circumstances and situation, so enter our thought life that we only get snippets of peace here and there? Do I love him enough? Is my desire for him great enough to cause me to come and keep coming and keep offering for who he is? That's it. The Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father do. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. That which he sees, that which he hears, it's all from walking with God. I can't share his life with you if I'm not sharing in his life on my own. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him in John chapter 8, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. How about that? He's talking about fellowship, isn't he? He's talking about sharing. He's talking about communication. I'm communicating with my Father. You're communicating, sharing the thoughts of your Father. And later in the chapter he says, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. Now, I find this instructive, not just interesting, instructive. their hardness of heart, their murderous intent, was partly due to their fellowship with the devil. Do you think they went to some, you know, satanic club and saw some image of the devil? Do you think that? It's a very simple question with a very simple answer, no. It's to do with heart condition, my mental life. What am I fellowshipping with? You can fellowship with envy. You can fellowship with what he said. You can fellowship with what she did. You can fellowship with that around, around, around. And so we walk in darkness. That's darkness. It is darkness. I write these things that your joy may be full. This then is the message we heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's no envy. There's no jealousy. You can fellowship with jealousy. You can fellowship with your own sensitivities. Do you understand what I mean? It's clear to me what I mean. I don't know if I have the power of expression to convey it. Before I was married, I was beginning to understand. I had a contract. I did building work. I got a contract to build this lovely garage, very smart garage for a well-to-do person. And I don't know, it was about halfway through, and I went to bed, and I thought, I'm going to run out of money. I'm going to run out of money. What am I going to do? I have no capital. And this went on and on. I was lying in bed, and I thought, I'm going to go bankrupt. You know, I'm just going to have to be shamed by not being able to finish this garage that I've started. It'll come to the church. There'll be a church meeting, and I'll be excommunicated. Now you can smile, and I can smile, but you know, whoever you are, how, with what compelling logic Satan comes to make you think this is reality. It comes not as some bit wafty, misty thing. It comes with power to knock you off course. It comes to you with power to destroy the image of God. That's Satan's work, to destroy the image of God. He doesn't care. He's not in control. He doesn't love you. He loves those more than you, etc., etc. The devil's work. I was beginning to learn. I thought, this is crazy. This is getting crazy. I turned over in bed, and this is what I said to myself. Nervous system, you can panic all you like. I'm going to sleep. And I went to sleep. There's a story. I don't think it's a true story. In America, man driving through the plains, flat plains. Car breaks down. Flat tire. Gets out. Middle of nowhere. And flat tire. Looks. He hasn't got a jack. He sees a farm in the distance. Oh, farm's bound to have a jack. He's starting to walk. Thoughts come. Probably have a jack. But they'll know I'm stuck in the middle of nowhere. I bet they're going to they're going to ask money. They might ask $5. They might even ask me $20. But a jack, a new jack would cost $20. And he's fellowshipping, you see. He's fellowshipping. It is fellowship. Please understand. We are always fellowshipping with something in our hearts and minds. He gets to the front door, knocks on the door. By this date, he's in a stew. The farmer opens the door. Yeah, can I help you? You know what? You can keep your jack. I'd rather walk 20 miles than give you $20 for your jack. What do you fellowship? What do you and I fellowship with?
I mean, it might seem an extreme example, but it's not altogether for this, the way you and I can be tempted to think, and the avenues and cul-de-sacs of darkness the devil would lead us.
I'm not talking about ecstatic experiences and feelings, but God does come. It shouldn't be a law. It shouldn't be a duty. My appreciation. If I haven't got it, I should seek God for it and repent. My appreciation for who He is and what He's done. My love for Him that issues out of that should take me to Him, whether I feel I need Him much or little, but we need Him much. Fellowship with Him brightens now the brow once shaded, freshens now the face once faded. Peace with God now makes us glad. I believe God wants me to know this. Certain thing wanted to come again into my mind. Had I done wrong? Had I not done wrong? You know, you can go round and round and round. And the more you go round and round, you go down and down and down and down till you lose confidence, hope for everything. It's the devil's work. It's darkness. Thing wanted to come, I said, with power. I thought, this is not doing me any good. I said, I'm going to fast from this. I'm going to fast from these thoughts. It doesn't mean that things disappear immediately, does it? Things sometimes want to keep coming. I want to come. I'm fasting from those thoughts. Then in one meeting God came. Where? Where are those? It's gone. It's gone. God tests us, God proves us. He doesn't make everything, you know. We are tried and tested to see the response of our love and faith. One thing have I desired, says David, of the Lord. This is the thing I'll seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord. Dwell with Him, dwell in Him. All the days of this my life, and behold that which we have seen, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire at His temple. Why are you cast down, Psalm 42, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Beholding Him, fellowshipping with Him. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance. His countenance refreshes my countenance, freshens now the face once faded, brightens now the brow once shaded. Whatever we're passing through, whatever our church is passing through, whatever concerns I might have, my concerns are to lead me to Him and to pray to Him and to keep praying to Him and calling on His name and laying my life down before Him first for Him to work in the multitude of needs and difficulties. He freshens our face in difficulties. They looked unto Him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. As for me, I will behold your face in righteousness when I awake with your likeness. This is all from the Psalms. David, yes, time's gone. Fellowship with Him. A fellowship that costs us, a fellowship that changes us. I will finish with a quote by Spurgeon. The habit of prayer is good, but the spirit of prayer is better. Regular quiet times are to be maintained, but continued communion is better. Amen.